So first, I thought as we prayed this evening, we'll ask, you know, testimonies from the year, School of Miracles. Do we have testimonies from the year, you know, from, this is the 11th? Yeah, so testimonies throughout what has struck you, particularly from the School of Miracles services, you know, whether you received a miracle or it was something that you heard that helped you to be a blessing to somebody, you know, that's, if you can think of that, you know, right now. But while we say that, I have a testimony, you know, I had huge bills to pay. And last month, as I sat one day, bagam alat, you know, I just thought, I just leave it to your hands and I trust God to just bring all that I need. And the alert came in. I looked, I said, it was big, you know, from an expected source. So I had to call the person. I said, sorry, you made a mistake. And the person said, no, it's not a mistake. That's a seed, you know, and I just prayed, you know, for them receive that seed gladly. I think barely 1 week later, another one, bam, also quite as huge. And I was like, wow, you know. And then barely 3 days later, another one from the same person. And I said, I thought we're done for a while, you know. But I said, no, it's a seed, you know. So I thank God and I trust God for more seeds. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. At least that cleared a few bills. More to go. Hallelujah. Amen. So God can provide even when you don't expect and from where you do not expect. Hallelujah. So anybody thought of anything before we get in God's word yet? This year, School of Miracles. No. Yes. Don't pity me. So it's not a pity me miracle.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, the testimony I would want to give is Thursdays were usually days that I would think that I wouldn't be able to make it for service, but I always try to ensure and try to make it, especially for School of Miracles. And this year, I don't think I've missed more than maybe 2 or 3. And not because I wanted to, but maybe because there was too much traffic and I got stuck.
Maybe one.
Maybe. As in, I've really been consistent this year for School of Miracles. And I want to thank God for that. Even not only School of Miracles, Thursday services in general. And then I also...
Maybe 3.
So I also want to thank God for, yes, healing. A lot of times... for healing, for an upliftment of the spirit, of the soul. Sometimes when you feel down, when you feel weary, and you come into the presence of God, there is that strength that comes and that joy that comes from within. And even for this year, I found out that I've had to take up a lot of, will I say, responsibility in leading worship. And because I'm mostly the one around, and it has also helped me develop my worship in God's presence. Hallelujah. And worshiping is something that I look forward to. It just makes everything seems not like nothing, if you understand what I'm saying. So when I'm in the midst of God worshiping, I am in my comfort zone and I experience that joy. And the words that have also come during the years, sometimes when I'm down, the word will just come. That word of, how will I put it? Is it prophecy or word of encouragement? Yes, would come and I would also hold on to it, and it will, at that point in time, help me get through whatever I am going through. So I just want to thank God for being true and being faithful all the way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for that. And actually, you know, it's a decision. Once you made the decision, the grace was made available to say, I want to be in the Thursday meetings. Then the grace was available to do it. Amen. But I always say there are certain things you just decide to do. You know, you've decided you'll be brushing your teeth every day, Abby. So come rain, come shine. Even when no water was coming out of the tap or whatever, you found a way to brush your teeth. Am I right? You didn't. You know, so I was looking at you. I know you will know that there has to be a solution, you know. So there are certain things that you just decide to do them. That is what I'm going to be doing. And because it's a quality decision, you know, you find a way around it. No matter the obstacle, you just do it. It's not an option not to do it. Amen. And that's the way we ought to deal with the things of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rotobi wants me to sing. Okay. So, all right. Let's just appreciate God giving thanks tonight. And I'll teach briefly after that. Yes. Oh, you have a testimony. Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Yes, I saw you sitting there. So I said he just is waiting that he will sing.
Hallelujah. So God has been very good to me this year. God has been very good to my family. Monday was my birthday. I think it was the first birthday in the while, in the long time that I was not really anticipating. I just noticed that from Friday, Saturday, it wasn't that anything happened. I just, you know, when something that is good, but you're not looking forward to it. I can't tie it to everything. It was like a cloud of some sort that I was just, again, nothing bad happened, right? So, and, you know, Sunday came, I was feeling that, okay, I mean, when I come to the presence of God, I should hear a thing or two in the presence of God that maybe God wants to tell me as I step into this new year. So I didn't really have like an expectation per se. But by the time that service was done, by the time that I walked up to Settman to just, you know, pray, just say a word of prayer, I think between Sunday service and Monday, the way that I was feeling just began to just subside, and the joy of God was just welling up in the inside of me. And then I just also not had the privilege to just reflect back on how this year, particularly for me, has been a year of harvest. You know, we keep saying in our confession that with the wisdom of God, we are able to join our harvest. And that phrase has literally been my experience throughout this year. Just hearing that confession that we speak every Thursday, every time that we get the opportunity to pray and to confess it, and it just keeps ringing. The things that I have, by the mercies and by the grace of God, been able to carry, it is from booster service, is from School of Miracles. I can remember an occurrence where I have had the word of God, you know, just come in my direction that I will be, I think it was Settman that once mentioned that I will be actually handling things that are actually bigger than I am, right? Maybe it was last year's birthday. But this year was the year that things that were bigger than me, I was near them. I was able to, you know, contribute one way or the other. And I really thank God for his mercies and his protection. And this last week, against this week, I can't count the number of times that I have almost slept in the bedroom. And I keep saying the devil is a liar. The number of times that, you know, at some point, when I was almost falling down, if someone was looking at me, they would just notice that I would not be walking very slowly. I say, devil, you're a liar, you're a bastard, you know. So I would just be counting my steps. But my point is, the devil tried, but I'm here. I'm standing, and it's the Lord's mercy and his protection that has been seeing me through. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Also, please get a mat in that bathroom. Amen. So get an anti-slippery mat in that bathroom so that we won't say we were not warned. Amen.
Praise God. So I mean, we're talking about School of Miracles, January to November, and I just wanted to take note of one thing, that let the Spirit of God just move. Okay, so sometimes we're coming for a meeting. Sometimes I'm just blank. You know when something's blank? I'm just blank. I'm coming for miracles, School of Miracles, I'm just blank. I just sit down and say, God, this is not about me anyway. So, I mean, I'm here. Whatever you want to do, you do. There was one particular School of Miracles. I think I administered to practically everybody in the room. It was left, or I think it was, as I was coming back to the stage, you know, and sometimes I even ask God that, why must I move and go and meet that person? But that's the way he dealing with me anyway. So I was coming back to the stage, and then he said, go back. Let's see one more person. And I was struggling. I was just telling you how to listen. I was struggling, and I said, I don't have to talk to everybody in the room. I think I am done. He said, no, go back. And that was the day I spoke to Remy. And it was then she came back and mentioned the document that she was looking for. And that day when I was talking about the thing, I was almost like, I hope that this is all right, because I was telling her things I was telling her, look, whatever you're looking for, you find it, you know? And it was just out of leading of the Spirit. I was almost sitting down and he said, no, go back. You still have to. And you see, when we obey, we don't know what we are doing on God's behalf, because questions will be in people's mind and God is leading you to say something that will address those questions. And it's very important. We are here as instruments that God will use, okay, to bring himself to people, to make his word, to confirm his word to his people, and let us all allow the Spirit of God move through us. Lord bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so I'm just obeying God to have gone in that direction, because I had what I believe God has laid on my heart, and so it looks like I'm running out of time, but I'm obeying God, so I believe that is a blessing to us in some way. Hallelujah. Unto the Lord be glory and praise. Unto the Lord be glory and praise. Unto the Lord be honor forevermore. I exalt your majesty. praise for the things that you have done and the things you are doing and the things you will yet do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you because you crowned the year with your goodness. We're talking about the end of the year. This has been the 11th school of miracles. Thank you because you will crown the year with your goodness in Jesus' name. Thank you because the things you have done will be dwarfed by the things you will do in the name of Jesus. Thank you for amazing things in righteousness that you do amongst us, for us, through us, in Jesus' name. And thank you tonight for speaking to us, opening our eyes to see the wondrous things in your word, revealing yourself to us, revealing your operations, revealing how you work. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 12, very quickly. Matthew 12. Thank you. Matthew 12, and tonight I'm going to teach briefly on how to get it and keep it. How to get it and keep it. So somebody say, how to get what? Whatever you want. I mean, how to get it and keep it. And we're going to look at that from, you know, Matthew 12 and get some insight from God's word. I believe God's laid that on my heart for today. He's done that from many weeks back when he just laid this on my heart and said, this is for the school of miracles today. So Matthew 12, I read from verse 22. It says, then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And he healed him. That's Jesus healed him. So that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. He said, but Jesus, verse 25, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? Jump down to verse 43. So jump to verse 43. Jesus' teaching says, when an unclean man, or an unclean spirit rather, goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. So two encounters, two teachings, but all within the same context. One, they accused Jesus because he just healed a man who was deaf and dumb. The Bible said that the man had a demon spirit and was deaf and dumb. The Bible didn't exactly tell us that devil was behind the deafness and the dumbness, though we can assume that is the case. But this applies to everything, applies to every healing, applies perhaps to every miracle as well. So it's not just about a demon spirit being cast out. It's just about the operations in the spiritual. Remember, just like the man who came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 and said, look, my servant is sick. And Jesus says, I will come and pray for him. And the man says, no, don't come to my house and pray for him. He said, because I'm a man under authority. And I understand how these things work. He says, so all you need to do is speak a word and my servant will be healed. It says, because I say to one, go, and it goes. I say to another, come, and it comes. So basically, what the man was saying is that the same way it works in the natural, I know that authority works in the spiritual. So I understand that you don't need to be there. If you say it, it's going to happen accordingly. So the spiritual is, what I'm saying is that these are just insights into how spiritual things operate. You know, and the second one, he says, when you then cast out a spirit, that spirit goes and comes back, and if he finds the place empty and swept, so you've swept it, now it's empty, he says, then he goes, he's very happy, and brings seven worse demons with himself and come back in that same situation. So many times, for instance, people get healed, and they say, how come I got healed, and then I lose the miracle? That's not an uncommon thing. That's something that happens very often. And I remember Kennedy again telling the story, and I try to tell it as best as I can. And he said there was a man who had lost his hearing, couldn't hear anything. And then he prayed for this person, and the person could hear. You know, when you can hear the, I don't know whether the wristwatches make any TikTok sound anymore, you know, but I can't hear any TikTok sound. They don't make those sounds anymore, you know. But when you take it and the person who couldn't hear can hear the TikTok, you know, so for those who are old enough, the sound of a watch, you know. But a few months down the line, the same person showed up in a meeting and couldn't hear anything at all. You know, and Egan said, I mean, of course, first prayed and got one ear open. And he said, I'll tell you what happened to you. You know, that after a while, you lost your hearing for a moment. You know, so you could hear. This is somebody who couldn't hear for so long and then got healed and could hear. He said, now after a while, you suddenly lost your hearing for a few moments. And then you said to yourself, I thought I was healed. You know, I thought it had happened. I thought I was free from this thing. You know, and he said right there and then you were opening the door for the thing to come back. So people will go through that. People who had been to many crusades or robots meetings, all kinds of miracle crusades. They say, oh, that person received a miracle, but we thought he was healed. His eyes were open, but now he's blind again. We thought this, we thought that. So how do you, in the first place, get that miracle? Because that's what we're talking about tonight. So in the first portion that I read, Jesus was talking about how you get it. In the second one, he was giving us an insight spiritually into how you keep it. Are you with me? So in the first one, they were accusing him and they said, look, this healing and things that you did, you are doing it by Beelzebub. You know, you are casting out demons by Beelzebub. And he was saying, look, both Beelzebub and the demons you are talking about are the same kingdom. Okay? So the only way this works is that you come and the only way you can deal with such situations is that you have to come to a strong man's house. For you to enter his house and plunder that house, you must overwhelm the strong man. You must overcome the strong man. You must be coming with superior firepower, so to speak. You know, so the first thing about how to get it is that you must exercise spiritual authority. You must know how to exercise spiritual authority. Can I have an amen? You can't be just a goody-two-shoe Christian and expect to get all of the things that God has in mind for you. Expect to get your miracles. Expect to get the miracles of healing, miracles of provision. You can't just be a goody-two-shoe person who just believes, you know, some who will say, well, devil, you know me, I don't trouble you. So don't trouble me. May I just go my way. I'm very quiet. I don't even pray all this binding and losing. I just go to church gently, quietly. I clap my hands, I raise my hands, but I don't trouble you. I don't pray for anybody to be free from anything. I don't come in your direction, so leave me alone. You shouldn't come at me either. You can go for Pastor NY, who will lay hands on people. Are you with me? But it doesn't work that way. There must be an exercising of spiritual authority. Can I hear you say exercising spiritual authority? Now, let's take a moment and look in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. One of the things that we have missed is that we pray, when we pray a lot about everything, okay? What I mean is that we just pray. We pray and pray and pray and ask God to do it. God, ask God to do it. 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 But sometimes you are not supposed to be asking God to do it. Are you with me?
Sometimes you're supposed to just be exercising your authority. Why? Because God has done it and given you the authority to claim it or to declare it. So when he says whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth, however the interpretation, I'm not getting into the theology or theological interpretation, however it is, what he's saying, because some will say what it says actually is that whatever you bind on earth must have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth must have already been loosed in heaven. Fine, are you hearing me? But the point is this, you will still have to bind and loose here. Do you understand my point? Whether it already has been done first in heaven or it is done after you, the point is this, you will have to exercise spiritual authority here. Can I have an amen? So it means that certain things will not happen except you and I exercise our authority. So Mark 11, 23, and this is what I'm saying, that everything is not about praying to God and asking God to do it. So Mark 11, 23 says, "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have what? Whatever he says." Now, this is the clincher. He says, whoever will say to who? Are you there? Whoever will say to who? He didn't say you are talking to God. So this is not prayer, as we know it, if you know what I mean. This is not prayer as we know it, that I'm praying to God and I'm saying, God, please do it. No, 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 no. He said, I should speak to that situation. I should speak to that mountain. So there's a lot that needs to happen because I said to the situation. Are you hearing me? If I always like to go into the context of Mark 11, 23, because what had happened was that the Bible says that Jesus saw a fig tree, and because there were leaves on it, he thought there would be fruit on it, even though it was not the time of the figs. But usually, what they say is that if you see leaves, usually that tree would have fruit. So he went there thinking that he would find fruit on it, but when he got there, there was no fruit on it, and then he said, no man will eat fruit from you evermore, and the next day, they saw that tree had dried up from the roots. But hear this. What it says in Mark 11 is that Jesus got to that tree and the King James says, and he answered, saying, no man eat fruit from thee evermore. What does that mean by he answered? He was speaking to the tree. What does that mean by he answered? One says, and he replied, saying, what does that mean? It means the tree says something. The tree, he got to the tree thinking he would find fruit on it. And the tree said, onga go ki you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he answered. So you open, you check, there's a bill to be paid, then you check your bank account, and he says, nah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or all of a sudden, you have this pain, all of a sudden, and then it's saying to you that you will die. It's saying to you, you see that chest pain you are feeling? It's that attack. You are going to die. What do? You answer. That's exercising spiritual authority. And saying, no. You can't kill me. This chest pain can't kill me. No, whatever that chest pain represents is gone in Jesus' name, because himself took my sickness and my disease. So you begin to speak. So he said, if you speak. So after that happened, and he basically just lived it out, Mark 11, 23 is a product of his students, his disciples, asking questions and saying, hey, see the tree. And then he began to teach them that this is how you operate in life. Are you hearing me? That there are situations you will face and you have to speak to that situation. This is how to get it. That's what we're talking about. You'll have to address the situation. You have to speak to your legs. You have to speak to your blood vessels. You have to speak to your bank account. You have to speak to things. You have to speak to inanimate and animate things. So how do I get it? By exercising spiritual authority. You know, when he says that, Luke 13 was talking about a woman, and the Bible says she had a spirit of infirmity. a spirit of infirmity, basically a spirit of sickness. So is the devil behind every sickness in some way? And Jesus says, if you are going to overcome it, he said, you must bind the strong man. And that means that you must have authority to bind the strong man. So the real question is, what do I have? You have authority. Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Now, these are scriptures that we need to know. And these are scriptures that we need to go over again and again and again and again. And that's why we have School of Miracles. It's to ensure that we go through certain things quite regularly. It's to ensure that we talk about certain things quite regularly. I remember years ago, you know, SGO. And I was teaching on spiritual authority. You know, spiritual authority. And there was somebody who came from a hostel, female hostel in the university. And she said these cats will gather at night, you know, near their window. I mean, and I don't know, they said there were huge numbers of cats. And they will gather and they'll be making all kinds of funny noises. Somebody said, what does that mean? I don't know, I leave it to your imagination. But the people there felt there was something odd about those cats. And how those cats gathered. Somebody said, I don't believe it. That's your business. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But they felt there was something going on here. And I taught on spiritual authority. So she went back, got back there, and she spoke. And said, I command you cats not to come here again. Don't gather near my window. I bind you and I command you. And from that night, they stopped gathering there. Abi, spiritual authority. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You know, as I said, I remember a story told by Reverend George Adeboye, and he said he moved to a one place. And when he got there, along the streets, people would be pregnant and they would lose pregnancies. You know, they would just lose the pregnancy. And they said, usually the witches gather in one place in that street, near one tree. And when they have a meeting, the pregnant women will lose their pregnancies. So he said, he asked them, he said, where do they gather? He said, it's by this tree. He said, so he carried his chair and went to sit there at midnight. I said, I want them to come and meet. He said, he sat there for a few nights, nothing happened. But from that day, nothing happened. No more meetings again, and people were, having their babies, and everything became normal. Hallelujah. So what are we talking about? Luke chapter 10. Verse 19, Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means, I like that, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you authority over all the power. So you know what has happened to us? Is that we are focused on the power of the enemy. You know, we're focused on how much power the enemy has, but God doesn't disagree with that. God acknowledges. Remember what we read in Matthew chapter 12? He called him the strong man. But he said, you can bind the strong man and then plunder his house. So he said he's a strong man, yes, but you can bind the strong man. So don't focus on the strong man and how strong he is, but focus on your ability, your authority to bind the strong man. That's what this is talking about in Luke chapter 10. That I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Meaning the enemy has power, but you have authority over it. I'm not going in depth into authority and power, but it means that if the smallest among us has authority, in fact, you can be, how do I call it now? Maybe Monarchy is too young to join the police. But if he could, and if he joined the police, and he walked in here in police uniform, and he said, all of you are under arrest. You must give him attention. You know what I'm talking about? You can't say this is tiny. It's not his muscle that he's using, What he's using is the authority. The authority that he bears, that I'm wearing this uniform. That's the authority. It doesn't matter what it looks like. So 1 John 4:4, for instance, it says, look, you have overcome them, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Now, I like that scripture because it says you are little children. I like that scripture because it's saying, look, by yourself, you are nothing. He said, but the truth is that the one inside of you is greater than the one in the world. Basically, he's talking about the authority as well and saying that, look, the fact that you carry the greater one makes you special. Hallelujah. How do I get it? I must exercise spiritual authority. I must exercise spiritual authority. Speak to the situation. Speak to the thing. I remember also years ago, and that's why I'm teaching this now. Years ago, ministering in a church, night vigil somewhere, and then I ministered and prayed for this lady, and a fibroid disappeared. And then she came after and said, you know, we had a prayer retreat some time ago. And the same thing happened to me. The fibroids disappeared. She said, but they came back. And I don't know why. So I said, I know why. I said, it's because you had a spiritual accident at the time. What happened to you, you had no clue how it happened. You were there, you generated, you were stirred up so much, but the faith activated the power of God and you got healed. But you didn't know how you got it. So when the devil tried again, you couldn't keep it. Because you did not exercise or you didn't understand spiritual authority. Are you with me? Matthew 28, before we now come to how you keep it. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came. So after he rose up, he came and he spoke to them, saying, all authority. Can I hear you say all authority? He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So no matter what you are talking about or where you are talking about it, here on earth, all authority has been given to me. In heaven, all authority has been given to me. Go therefore. Now I am sending you. Now I am sending you. John 20, 21. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. If all the authority has been given to me, and now I send you, it means that there is nobody who has greater authority than you. Are you there? It means there's nobody you are going to come across, there's nothing you are going to come across, no devil you are going to come across that has greater authority than you have. None. None is superior to you. Are you there? That's why Mark 16 puts it a little differently. And he said, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick. The sick shall recover. If they drink any deadly things, shall not hurt them. When he says in my name, it doesn't necessarily mean the pronunciation of the name of Jesus. That's you have to always just pray and say in the name of Jesus. He's just saying everybody who comes in my name. Everybody who comes in my name, they basically carry the authority that I have. Hallelujah. They have the authority that I have. If they came in my name, they have that authority. You have that authority. Hallelujah. You have that authority. So how do I keep it? Jesus was telling the second story in Matthew chapter 12 from verse 43. And he said, when you cast out that devil, he goes, comes back, finds the place clean and empty, and then he finds seven worse devils, and they come back in. Not twice, but at least those two times, I've had people who had, you know, direct demonic encounters like that I prayed for. And I told them the same things. And that's what I'm telling you tonight. You know, which is, you can't leave the place swept and empty. Are you with me? If you are going to keep what God has given to you, you can't be clean and empty. Are you getting my point? Emphasis on empty. Emphasis on empty. You can't be clean and empty. The devil will always keep looking for another opportunity. Luke chapter 4 was talking about the encounter Jesus had with the devil. And he said after those three popular temptations we know about, you know, take him to the top of, I mean, tell him to change bread into stone, tell him to jump from the pinnacle, and took him to the top and said, if only you will worship me, then I'll give you all of the kingdoms of this world. You know one exciting thing there that you should note? He said, if only you will worship me. In the original, he said, if only you worship me just once, basically. If only you worship me just this once. And that's how the devil gets in most times, isn't it? He tell you, just do it this once. You don't have to do it again. You don't have to continue. But just once, just once. But Jesus knew that once carries the risk of forever. Amen. But that's not our message for tonight. Amen. But then after he survived those three, the Bible says the devil left him for a season. For a season. Emphasis on for a season. One says he left him for an opportune time. Meaning, those were not the only times that Jesus encountered the devil, meaning that he kept coming back. He kept looking for other opportunities to tempt him. If he kept looking for other opportunities to have a hold in his life. In fact, Jesus was speaking in John chapter 8, I believe, and he said, he that sent me is with me. He has not left me because I do the things that are always pleasing to him. He said, now the devil comes, but he has no space with me. So the devil kept coming. He kept coming. Hebrews tells us, he says he was tempted in all points as we are. Meaning that it's not just the three things you read, but he faced temptations on a regular basis, in all forms, meaning there was sickness attempts, there was all kinds of attempts. He says, yet without sin, he didn't give in. Hallelujah. How do you do that? Jesus said, it's because when that devil came back, he found the place swept and empty. So, one of the people, both of them, but in this case, I prayed for this person. God delivered him. And then shortly afterwards, the same thing reoccurred. And I saw it was more challenging, just like Egan was talking about the deaf man. He said the second time was more, it took longer to get his ears to open. Just what Jesus taught. He comes in with seven worse devils. So the better bet is don't even let him get back in. Because when he gets back in, the battle is more fierce. Because he comes back in with reinforcement to try to take the ground and keep it. It doesn't mean that it's impossible to get free again. Yes, nothing is impossible with God. Can I have an amen? So you can always get free, no matter what the devil brings your way. You can always be free at any point in time, no matter what. But the point is, when God has done something for you, the way to keep it is ensure you are full. Full of what? Full of God's word, for one. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God dwell richly in you. 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 Why? What happens? Because when the word of God is dwelling richly in you, the moment the devil wants to bring back a symptom, wants to bring back a doubt, wants to bring back anxiety, and what have you, what happens is that the Holy Ghost has something to work with. And in John 16, Jesus said he will take of what is mine and show it to you. He will take of what is mine. He will take of the word and show it to you. So all of a sudden, you'll find God's word coming up because you are full of God's word. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, you find that things come and a scripture will come. that will just, I will speak to that situation. But you are full. So there's no space to get in. There's no space for the devil to get in. And usually, guess what? He comes into the mind. Just like that story again told, the first time the lady lost the hearing for a few seconds, I said, I thought. That's how it begins. I thought, he said, and then the hearing came back. And then after, you know, a few days, the hearing went for about an hour. He said, it looks like this thing is really back. And then after a few days, bam, you lose it. Because she accepted it. So the first and most major thing is stay full of God's word. Hallelujah. Stay full of God's word. You know, if only we knew that being full of God's word is a matter of life and death, I think we'll take it more seriously. You know, we'll take it more seriously. We'll do everything we can just to ingest God's word. I was talking about effortless change. I wanted to actually do a second part to that about God's word. And maybe we'll still do that. Just looking at God's word. What God's word is. The last time we were talking about, it says the heart brings forth fruit of itself. But just looking at that seed also. What is that seed? How potent is that seed? You know, and the mere fact that I'm taking in God's word, I don't know what it's doing to me, but it's doing something. Hallelujah. For one, it ensures that there's no space for anything else. It ensures that nothing can get in. The devil can't bring doubt. I was listening to somebody and I like what he said. He said the name of the devil in Igbo is Ekwonsu. Ekwonsu. Ekwensu. Which means what? Permitted evil. Eh? Permitted evil. Ekwensu. Permitted evil. Meaning what? If you don't permit it, it can't have the space. You understand? If you don't permit him, if you don't give him the chance, he can't have the space. That's what the Bible talked about. You know, absolutely scriptural. He said, look, the devil is going about like a roaring lion, looking for whom he may devour. He says, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. Meaning that if you don't permit him, he can't get any hand. He can't do anything if you don't allow it. So every time he strikes and he stays successfully, it's because I allowed some space. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Second thing, you know, Ephesians 5 also tells us that we should be full of the Spirit. Let's read Ephesians 5. So full, we're talking about not being empty. That's what we're saying, not being empty. Not being empty at any point in time, but staying full, staying full. So how do I get it? Exercise authority. How do I keep it? Stay full of the word and the Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 18. It said, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So being full of the Spirit has effects. And it says you will speak God's word. You will sing. You will give thanks to God. Now, if you put all of that together and you join one scripture with another, for instance, take it to Romans chapter 4, the Bible says that Abraham, even though he had no ground for faith, stood on hope. Even though there was no ground for hope, stood on hope, and he did not doubt God, but was giving praise and glory to God. Another translation says, his faith was strengthened as he gave praise and glory to God. Meaning that if I'm full of the Spirit, my faith stays strengthened. Because I'll be giving thanks to God, like Ephesians chapter 5 tells us. And because I'm giving thanks to God, it will help my faith. It will strengthen my faith. And just like Abraham, standing his ground, the Bible says his faith was strengthened as he gave praise and glory to God. So the second time I pray for a bad person, you know, well, it's a bit more difficult. It was free. And again, the same instruction. I said, fill yourself up. Get full of the Holy Ghost. If you are not even, baptized in the Holy Ghost, get baptized in the Holy Ghost, get full of the Holy Ghost. But when it says be filled with the Spirit, it means that I can be with the Spirit, but not filled. It's like a tank. I can have a half tank. I can have a quarter tank. I can have a full tank. Where the full tank can take me to, the half tank can't get there. Three-quarter tank can't get there. So a full tank is a full tank. Amen. You are quiet. A full tank is a full tank, irrespective of the petrol is 1,000 naira per liter or not. A full tank is a full tank. So if you are full, there's a difference to if you are three quarters full, if you are half full, if you are quarter full. There's a huge world of difference between being full or not being full. And the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled, be full of the Spirit. Because when you do, you find yourself operating in the realm of the Spirit, being more conscious of the Spirit. And if you remember, it says that the things of the Spirit contradict the things of the flesh. And they are contrary one to another. So things like fear and all that becomes contrary to you when you are walking in the Spirit, when you are full of the Holy Ghost. You find it very difficult to fear. You find it difficult to be anxious. You find it difficult to believe that things will not happen the way you expect them to happen. So our real solution in keeping the promise of God and the miracle of God is being full of the Word and the Spirit. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet tonight. So take a moment and just pray in the Spirit. What is God saying to you tonight? Take a moment to note what He has said to you tonight and tell Him what you heard Him say. Thank Him for what you heard Him say. Address situations as need be. Father, tonight we thank You. Thank You for Your word. And thank You for confirming that word with signs and wonders, with miracles, and with various distributions of the Holy Ghost. Whether here, whether online, whether now, whether later, thank You for confirming Your word in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Thank You for miracles break out. Thank You for doing amazing things, wonderful things that only You can do, even now, in the name of Jesus. Stop there, because as I said that, I'm just going to pray and sit. Someone began to feel like a warmth, like an oily warmth. Thank You for touching bad person, for touching each and every one of us. Thank You for the seed of Your word that also comes strong, buries deep in our hearts, grows and bears fruits. Thank you for that unction. Yes. Thank you for that flow. Thank you for what you're doing in that person's life. I just sense that warmth getting stronger. Stronger, just like an oily warmth. Thank you, Lord. Rush through that. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Thank you for doing that which you want to do. And we won't stand in your way. Because of our timing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Do that which you desire to do. Yeah, Holy Spirit, thank you. Yes, just getting stronger as if it's boiling oil. It's getting warmer and hotter. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Thank you, because it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger and stronger. Thank you, because it gets to the boiling point. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're willing. We're yielded. Have your way. 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 Have your way in us, with us, through us. Do that which you want to do. Do that which you want to do. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Be glorified today. Glorify.
in my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified in my
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
In my